We're back with another episode.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed during the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent any specific employer, organization, committee, or other group or individual. The primary purpose of this podcast series is to educate and inform. This podcast series does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services.
It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off. It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off.
You don't come here for the facts. You come here for the entertainment, okay?
If you're here for the facts, you're the wrong podcast.
We are here to entertain you. That's why we give a disclaimer at the beginning of our podcast.
Boom, baby.
We're here to educate and inform with entertainment.
Yeah.
That is it. All right, y'all. Welcome back to another episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the Face Off podcast with Fleming and Fowler. I'm Alyssa Fowler.
I'm Monica Fleming.
And we're here today to give you the cool sounds
of Freddy Cruz, the quiet storm.
Exactly. Welcome back, everybody. We missed you.
We missed
you. I know you missed us.
Thank you guys for bearing with us and just being there with us, you know, during this trying time of the holiday season.
It is a trying time.
Fowler was out. We were supposed to record literally within hours. We couldn't because Alyssa was having some technical difficulties
in
her body.
Let me take you guys on a quick journey. Let me paint you a picture.
It's a brown picture, but I'm not laughing.
I poop used to gross me out.
Until I started working in hospital.
I'm like, I could literally wish it. So I suffer from what I like to call the dads.
The dads.
The day after drinking shits.
Okay.
Some people just throw up to get it all out in the morning. Mm-hmm. I have the dads, right? That's like the way me and my IBS is set up. Mm-hmm. I went with my mom to her coworker's birthday party, and it was a bourbon tasting. Woke up in the morning. Had the bubble guts, but I was like, that's not crazy. That shit happens all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Day after I drink. Mm-hmm. But it's usually like a one and done situation.
Yeah.
When I tell you, every time I moved, every time I shifted, every time a muscle contracted in my body, I was like, it's a DEFCON situation. I'm running to the bathroom to expel the entire contents of my stomach Lord into the toilet. Jesus. Horrible. And I was like, okay, I haven't eaten very much. Like I had a little bit of dinner the night before, maybe lunch. It's the seasonal depression. But so I was like, okay, after the third time, I was like, there's literally nothing else inside of me. Like, this shit's going to calm down. Well, it did calm down because there was nothing else in my stomach. And I was like, you're going to faint. You probably need to eat something. Mm-hmm. Ate something, immediately expelled. And I don't know when the last time.
Are we having a face-off, baby? I was just going to say.
Alyssa's
pregnant.
There was a video the other day of this girl, this quote unquote cute video of a pregnant girl bumping her stomach with her non-pregnant friend, and then it cut to where the other friend was pregnant, and they switched. Mm. And I sent it to Marissa, and I was like, "Don't fucking ever."
Because we were just with her.
I don't know witchcraft that is.
The previous weekend.
Yeah. No, and so I had some kind of like 24-hour stomach bug. It was awful.
Yeah.
It felt like someone stuck a hot Cheeto on my asshole. It was on fire.
I'm not laughing.
I haven't had a stomach bug in so long. I haven't been sick like that in so long. It was just...
I'm sorry. I just got a visual. Somebody putting an actual hot that, Cheeto on somebody's ass.
That is 100% what it felt like. I texted her and I was like, my asshole hurts. She was like, take a bath.
I was like, do you want to record? I was like, why don't you just do a sitz bath, do some Epsom salt, some warm Epsom salt? You probably didn't even do that.
No. And then, because I was like, I don't want to sit in anything. I don't want to irritate. And then, so I was like, you know what? It calmed down to the point where I was like, I think we can record.
Yeah.
And then it just reared its ugly head again. And I was just like.
Because we were going to record on Monday. And then you were just like, nah.
Yeah. It kept coming. And I was going to go to work Monday. And then I was like, you know what?
Can you imagine if you were lifting up a patient and just shit all over yourself?
Shat myself? No. Yeah. And it's just so hard to find a bathroom at a hospital when you need it.
Right. Because it's always going to be locked or occupied.
Our job is so hard to do when you don't feel great.
That's very true.
Yeah.
It's too physical.
Yeah. So then. Started recovering from that, had a better Tuesday. Maybe it must have been either Tuesday or Wednesday. I felt like someone stuck a hot Cheeto in my nose, like in my nostrils. Mm. Burning green mucus coming out. I think it's allergy, sinus infection. And then we just got a cold front. It's freezing in Texas. So
then, which I'm happy about.
Yeah. So like my stomach cleared up and then my nose started acting brand new.
Yeah.
But I'm here. Thank you for all the people who texted me, asked me if I was okay. I wasn't, but it was very nice of you to ask.
But you're here now.
But I'm here now.
Thank
God. It's just the holiday season. It's the time. Wash your hands. Did you see the TikTok video?
At first I thought you had C. diff, and I was like, you're too young to get C. diff, man.
Bitch, when I tell you I thought I had C. diff, but I it didn't smell like C. diff, which if you work in a hospital,
you know
what C. diff smells like. And that's something you do not want to get. I'm also not in the best place insurance-wise, so I was like, I refuse. I cannot get it.
I cannot afford a hospital right now. Even though I work for the hospital, I cannot afford
a hospital. My ass is going to be there being like, I don't have a social security number. Nope. I can't tell you it. Sorry.
Nope.
But we're doing better now. I appreciate you for being with me. All is well that ends well.
That's good.
Also, we fell back an hour.
We did, which I love that we get it's not really an extra hour. I just hate the fact that it gets dark at like 3 p.m.
Oh, and it's throwing me off completely. It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, okay, well, almost dinner. What are we going to do? It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I end up taking more naps during the fall than I do in the spring and summer. Just because of the fact that it's much, much darker earlier.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, oh, man, it's got to be like 9 o'clock. And I'm like, 6 o'clock? Oh, another nap. And I just take another nap.
I'm like, when does the darkness happen usually?
I just don't think that. Who's controlling the lights is my question.
They are turning them shits off.
They are turning them off like crazy. And I just don't appreciate that. Because I'm just like, I know there are different countries that, or you know, like Alaska, it's not a country. Alaska's a state.
Alaska.
But I just know that there are some other countries that have like 24 hours of darkness or 24 hours of light, or you know, during daylight savings, but they don't change their clocks. And I could have swore Congress passed, or the Senate passed the bill.
No one else.
Where we were going to keep doing that.
Wasn't that the big thing last year? It's like, we're getting rid of daylight savings.
And then here we are doing it again.
The daylight has damn been saved.
I guess one last time.
I'm not a fan. I do always love the extra hour, but that was when I was like going out and stuff. So it was nice to be out an extra hour. Now I'm not.
Yeah. But in healthcare, nobody wants to be at work for 13 hours.
No.
Especially for nurses.
Do they have to stay there an extra hour on daylight savings?
They do. But it's time. The extra hour is time and a half.
I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. I would hurt somebody.
Yeah. It goes to 2 o'clock and it goes right back to one. You're like, oof. God dang.
Closing time.
Yeah, that's why I could never work night shift. Oh, Jesus, no. I did it once and I won't do it again.
You worked a night shift? Oh, when you were a CNA?
Mm-hmm. I did it for 2 nights and I quit.
You're like, yeah, this isn't like, going to work out.
I was at that damn snack machine the whole night. I was walking around on patients, like the sundowning patients. I'm just like, listen, Mr. Johnson, you need to shut the fuck up and go to sleep because I'm sick of this shit. Yeah, I quit. And they were like, hey, we need you to work. Mm-mm. No, it was actually a Hill South. Sorry, Hill South.
They're no longer
Hill South. So technically, I don't work for the new company. I won't say what the new name is. But anyway, that was an undergrad. I don't do that now as an adult. I wasn't a PT. I was a CNA. But anyway, yeah.
How was your time without me?
My time without you was amazing.
Great.
Any time away from Fowler is a great time. But it was cool. I was able to do a couple more repairs and stuff. Fixing my tail light. I'm telling you, God is turning me into like a Renaissance woman. And I don't know why, because I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. My hands are very fragile. And I'm so glad I did not get my nails done, because I had planned to get my nails done just for the holidays. So I'm glad I didn't, because I literally had to change my tail light and then my cabin filter and everything. Let me just tell y'all this. For those of you who drive a car, which is probably most of y'all out
there. If you're in Texas, it's definitely you.
Absolutely. Please make sure y'all are changing your cabin filter.
What the fuck is a cabin filter?
I can tell you probably haven't changed yours then. The cabin filter is what the filter that filters the AC air that you breathe in to your car.
They change that at Valvoline when you get your oil changed.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they say, this is what your filter looks like. And I said,
yeah, but that's your engine filter probably, not your cabin
filter.
The one
that goes in the glove compartment.
Okay, that's your cabin, yes. But you need to be changing both. There's two different ones. There's your cabin filter, and there's your actual engine air filter.
Well, they always ask if I want to change it, and I ask how much it is, and they say $25.
Oh, my God, you're getting robbed.
I say, keep it. And so I just never change it.
Well, you're getting robbed by like $5, because it's the cabin filter itself is only $20, and it literally takes you 2 seconds to put it in. And I just put my little essential oils on there, so it makes my car smell
very
really, really
nice.
Nice.
What oil do you choose?
What do you mean?
What essential oil is it?
Oh, it's a combination of like
what do you think I was asking about your car?
Orange, amber, and peppermint. Ooh, yeah, so it smells really, really good.
That's nice.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about like the actual.
Are you a synthetic girl? Or
I was like, whatever they put in the damn thing. I mean, I know how to do it, but I'm not going up underneath my truck, and I don't have anything to put my truck up on, so that's not happening. But anyway, other than that, it's been really, really good. This past week, my back kind of went out again, but anyway, I'm at about 85%.
Nice.
I'm better.
What are you doing to rehab yourself?
Laying in the bed. I was off for Veterans Day. First of all, thank you to all of our veterans out there.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service. Everybody that has served this country in any capacity to keep us alive and well, safe, and free.
To keep us in the bed.
Very true. And being comfortable in our homes. What was your question? Oh, what do I do to rehab? Yes. So I just laid in the bed literally. I didn't get out of bed until like 6 p.m.
I love that. Also, I thought Veterans Day was one day. I didn't know we celebrated it multiple days.
No. So the day is on.
I thought it was Saturday.
It was on Saturday.
But the calendar says it's Friday.
Well, that's the day it's observed. So like
the banks
and people who work at, you know, VAs and the government, they are off. We were off on Friday. Yeah. So
the way we just, you know what my grandpa was telling me?
What?
I called him for Veterans Day and he was like, yeah, they're sending me to see some kind of counselor. And I said, really? He was like, yeah. He's like, I guess there's something going on at the VA. A bunch of people are just, you know, kind of losing it. So they want to make sure no more veterans are losing it. So they're trying to get as many veterans as they can to see mental health counselors.
Wow.
And I was like, well, that's awesome.
That's awesome. But you have a, you know, I did see this this one video. I wish I would have did this before we started, but there was this one guy, he's working actually on a documentary, and it happened to him where he is not from the United States. He was not born in the United States, but he was raised in the United States. He also joined the military, and I think he served in the military for like 6 or 7 years.
In the U.S. military?
In the U.S. military. They deported him. Yes. And apparently it's a huge thing where the United States military, once you get out of the military, if you are not born here, then, or you don't have citizenship at the time you join the military, they will deport your ass back to your country.
So they don't have to pay all your benefits and shit?
I guess. I'm not sure, but he's working on right now getting a bill, a law passed.
That is the shittiest thing you could do to someone.
That's horrible. This person serves your country and then you deport them back to a land they don't even know.
Bye.
But not only that, you have a lot of people who come over here at 2 and 3 years old. They don't speak the native language. They don't speak their native tongue, their native language, and they don't know anybody over there. And then you deport them like as a veteran? But he's trying to get a particular bill passed right now that will prevent that and also bring a lot of the veterans who have been deported back to their home countries back over to the United States.
Wow.
Yeah. Apparently he was deported, I think, for like, I want to say he was deported for like 5 years. And so he's working on getting his citizenship.
Wow. Well, yeah,
it's insane.
But suicide rates of veterans is high. Shocker.
Especially around the holiday times.
Yeah. Too. Also, yeah. I don't know if y'all know, but San Antonio is Military City, USA.
Yes,
we are
is.
Hella veteraned up.
Yeah, we're militarized.
We're militarized. Don't come here if you're looking for problems.
No.
So I think that's a really good initiative because, I mean, a lot of people, especially that age group, like older veterans, they don't know how to... Like mental health wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
They don't know how to get help or how to start or what it even means or is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he said he got a call from, I guess, the VA, and they're like, would you like
That's awesome.
Mental health services?
Well, I think too, because your grandfather's generation, unfortunately, it's like the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And somehow within our society, we feel like older people can't learn new things or unlearn certain behaviors, and they absolutely can. Now, the damage is done for what they did and what was done to them. But I feel like, you know, people who are boomers before them, silent generation, you know, what do they call them? The people who were born in the early 1900s, I think they call them 19 really? Or something like that. Anyway.
Oh, like at the.
Yeah, they're still alive. I think that they still can and should go seek mental health services. Yeah. Because it's just because you're in your 80s doesn't mean that. You don't need
you
to get your mental health.
Brain.
Exactly. You still function and you still terrorize people. So you need help. Just saying. Well, I'll tell you what else is terrorizing people. So Christmas. People love to celebrate Christmas early for
love
some odd
Christmas.
Reason. And we skip over Thanksgiving. Now, I get it. I get it. Thanksgiving for the United States of America is a very traumatizing and very disgusting thing because of what happened with our native brothers and sisters, right? And the genocide that occurred with them. Despite that, I still believe that getting together and being thankful to God for your family and your friends, for the things that you have, should be celebrated, which I think is the original purpose, I believe. Hmm. Please correct me if I'm wrong, if you're Indigenous. I believe that that was the original part of it, or the original meaning behind Thanksgiving and celebrating and getting together.
Name two Thanksgiving songs.
There are none.
Exactly. So we're not celebrating. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. No. Thanksgiving is a cute little weekend we get to celebrate, like Veterans Day, Valentine's Day.
What? Valentine's Day.
We keep it pushing. We get to Christmas.
What is Valentine's Day in February?
Thanksgiving is a road bump on the way to Christmas.
But that's not, but you should be thankful.
Oh, no, yeah, we're going to be thankful. But like, everyone gets so pissed off when you put your Christmas decorations up before Thanksgiving. Because if I don't, then it's a waste. Because December goes so quickly that if you do not have decorations up before like early to mid-November, it feels like a waste. You have to get all this shit down. You have to put all the lights
up.
You're
supposed to do it as a family, giving thanks, and whoever's house you hosted at, they're supposed to come, like, help you decorate your tree and stuff as a family.
Yeah, like Leave It to Beaver days. I'm sure that worked.
We did that in my family. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And if my mom and dad would have decorated while we were kids... As opposed to saying, it's a pagan holiday, even though they sold her at Jesus' birth. It's about Jesus. We don't need a tree. That's not of God. It's like, I don't think God has any issue with trees because he created mm-hmm. them, but okay.
So do you decorate for Christmas?
It depends on the year.
Okay.
Most of the time I do.
You're a vibes.
If my person. Nephew is coming, absolutely.
Okay.
And if I have time. During the first pandemic, no. I mean, not first pandemic. The first year of the pandemic, shit. I did not. But then the second year I did.
I am a Christmas girly.
Already has decorations.
I already got them up. First of all, because I love a light in the nighttime. And it gets so dark now.
True.
I love a mood light. Mm-hmm. But again, it's just like, it takes so much to put it up and take it down that I want to leave it up for as long as possible.
True.
My mom used to put that shit up in October and it would piss me off.
Well, I used to go crazy when I first became an adult. And because again, my parents didn't decorate. They decorated before we were born. My sisters and I were born. But then one, I was like, so y'all was just sinners then? And then now when you have kids, it's like, oh no, worldly.
They just were too tired but didn't want to tell
I guess. We didn't have a Christmas tree, so we keep trying to put one in my mom's house. But she's just like, who's going to take it down? You, ma'am. That's your responsibility.
You got
to
get her that one that's remote controlled and it just like sucks in itself.
Exactly. But then we used to go over to my aunt's house every year, who's like super religious, way more super religious than my mom. And she has a Christmas tree. She had like a tree trimming party. So I'm like, oh man, why can't you just get a little plastic tree? But anyway,
my grandpa used to tell us that when he's from Philadelphia. He was mm-hmm. in the military, married my Nana. They had a shit ton of kids because mm-hmm. what else would you do back then? There was no Netflix.
Right.
They moved back to Philadelphia and their street was predominantly Jewish. And so when they would decorate the tree, all the Jewish kids would come over and help decorate the tree. Because they're like, this is awesome.
Because they don't get to do that, right?
No.
What do Jewish people celebrate? Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm. They have the menorah. And
yes, they and they have the to candles. Light it for the days mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Yeah. And then you have
some of them do Kwanzaa. Some do Christmas trees because it's more Americanized of a holiday.
Yeah, true.
But mostly no.
Yeah. Well, do you decorate the outside of your house more than the inside or the inside more than the outside?
No, the inside more than the outside, but it's because I'm just a girl. You know, like I'm not going to climb up.
I'm just a girl.
Exactly. I'm not going to climb up on a ladder.
Yeah.
I've had the thought, just hire someone to put the lights up, but mm-hmm. I don't even have the lights. Like, I'd have to buy the lights. I don't know how that works about, like, how many lights you need.
Yeah.
I'm ill-equipped. Could I figure it out? Sure. 100%. Not going to.
I just don't want to keep having to unplug and plug in and that's all true. That and even time. I just don't want
to
deal with all that.
What an exciting thing for my husband to do when he finds me. And exactly. I can be like, oh, I've never had Christmas lights.
Can you put some over here on this bush over
exactly.
here?
Exactly. He's going to love that.
I'd rather delegate. So that, because I've seen that neighbors, like some neighbors compete with each other. Mm-hmm. Like there's this one particular house in my neighborhood called, like he recreates the, remember the movie Christmas with the Kringles? Crinkles, I think it's what it's called. Crinkles.
Tim Allen.
Yeah. And they decorate this house and go crazy. Mm-hmm. This man literally does that with his house. And every year he wins like the best decorated house in our neighborhood or whatever. And he, like people can come in the city. They can go and look at his house and park in front of it, take pictures. He does not mind at all because he keeps it on all night long. It's ridiculous. But people go crazy with like competitions and decorating, which I think is all
fun
though. That's
such a dad thing.
Very true. I don't think moms do that. I definitely think it's a dad thing.
I feel like during COVID, a lot of the holiday sparkle died.
Absolutely.
I feel like way less houses are decorated. This street also, my street used to be decorated for Halloween. Everyone would decorate the house. Yeah. No one does that shit anymore. It's like Christmas decorations are few and far between. And even if they are decorated, maybe like 2 weeks before, you'll get some lights.
Yeah.
We need to pump it back up, people.
Well, I think, I mean, the economy is down. People can't get enough pay. Here's the thing. Christmas lights are expensive now because everything is going up. Christmas lights are being, the price of them are inflated.
That's true.
And Hobby Lobby, I see you. I see y'all trying to give us 50% off, but we need 75%.
At least.
That's what I'm saying. At least 75% off. I will tell you what I'm most excited about. Because a lot of these people during Christmas time are putting out new albums, specifically Brandy Rihanna Norwood. And I am so excited that she put out a Christmas album. It actually came out November the 10th. And it's really amazing.
Really?
Absolutely.
Is it traditional Christmas songs or her own Christmas songs?
It's a little bit of both.
This may be an unpopular opinion. Unless you're going to give me a Christmas banger and like, you know, like you put out some fucking little analysis or something, you send it out to some people and test it out, and you know it's going to be a great Christmas song. Just give me a classic.
No, she has mostly classic songs that she just redid, and there's a couple of new ones because she has a Hallmark Christmas movie that's coming out, so it's like a soundtrack to that. So that's why.
Let me tell you about Hallmark Christmas movies.
You're addicted to them, I'm quite sure.
I'm not, but I do love them in the background. That's my I wish my grandfather was on the show. So I could just, because I feel like we keep talking about him. His favorite channel is Hallmark.
Your grandfather watches Hallmark?
He has a favorite Hallmark actress. He loves the Hallmark movies. He's just like sweetest man. But
he's in his soft grandpa era.
My mom called me the other day and she was like, I was just on the phone with grandpa. We're watching a Hallmark movie. Come over. You have to watch it with me. I was like, Lord. I hate these movies. I already know how they're going to end, all of the shit.
Please. It's the same small. It's a lady who's an executive. She comes to a small town where it's her, where she was from or whatever. And she misses her flight, or she only gets the last hotel in the area, or she can't rent a Uber or some shit or a car, and then she meets the lumberjack in the flannel outfit whose wife died in a train accident and all his kids were killed and shit, and now they fall in love and they have a happily ever after, and they're trying to save the town with this one Christmas sock off. It's like, what the fuck? It's
so
the
this same one was story called Murder She Baked, which guess what she did for a living?
She baked.
Guess what?
Or she murdered.
Guess what the whole movie's about?
Baking.
Murder. Baking and murder. So, but it's like, so one of the first scenes, this baker finds this dead body, right? It is like a woman just laying on the ground, arms strung out. She walks in, she's like, she's dead.
That's on Hallmark? Yes. Oh my God.
It's like the most high school AV club murder scene you've ever seen.
I cannot.
But if you need a laugh, go watch it.
Something is tearing up my nose right now. Y'all, I'm not digging my boogers, I promise, for the people who are watching the video. Something is tearing up my nose.
You can if you want to. It's our show.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that would be gross. Go ahead. Finish your Hallmark murder movie.
That's it. But I do love a Hallmark movie in Christmas time.
Well, you already know there's going to be three different black actresses that are going to play. Kim Fields, Kelly Rowland, and Toni Braxton.
Love it.
Yeah.
Do they do Lifetime or Hallmark?
Both.
Both. Mm-hmm. Something about, Gretchen Wieners does all the Hallmark movies now. She has really made a name for herself.
What's her name? DJ Tanner?
After she got out of there.
Yeah.
But she has her own station now.
That's true. But she always
MAGA station or whatever it is. It's called like American Home or Make America. I don't know.
Yeah, because they don't like the gays over there allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which like there's a station for everybody.
That's very true. Well, I'll tell you what else is in need. I want to talk about this real quick. Needy coworkers. Okay, I know like we've been at work and we're coming in right because it is the holiday season. So sometimes, a lot of people take off and stuff like that. Unfortunately, at my job, I've had this issue where there are just a lot of needy people who just don't understand boundaries, specifically your coworkers who are just always asking you the dumbest questions. And it's just like, what were you doing before I got here?
Mm-hmm. But like, my thing is always like, how do you do this job, but also how do you operate as a human in the world?
Exactly. Like why are you working at such a deficit? And just then you'll have a supervisor that has a meeting and explains everything, and then 2 seconds later you're asking the same question that they just answered 2 seconds ago.
I literally last week in a meeting,
oh my God,
they said something. What was even the premise of this call? Oh, we were getting our hospital's stroke certified, whatever. Mm-hmm. So you have to do all these different protocols to maintain your certification. Yeah. Who cares? I guess I probably should, but whatever. One of the things is within 24 hours of getting an order, if it's a patient who they think has a stroke, you have to acknowledge the order. So you have to evaluate them, or you have to attempt to evaluate them. So you have to write a note. Mm-hmm. So, and this is where I'm like, people just want to hear themselves talk.
Yeah.
And this is not the time or the place for mm-hmm. that, because you're on my time now. Exactly. So you're affecting my life. So
start a podcast if you want to hear yourself talk.
These women who come, exactly. These women come in to do this presentation, and they just are, they're not therapists. They're just like, hey, we run the numbers for the hospital. Mm-hmm. This is the shit that has to be done.
Yeah.
If you have they're trying to be nice. If you have questions, let us know. Mm-hmm. They say you got to acknowledge the order. And the question was, if we can't see the patient because they're on hold, mm-hmm. does that affect the metric? And they said, no, as long as you're writing a note within the 24 hours that says you attempted mm-hmm. medically, they're unstable, or yeah. for whatever reason. I see a hand.
Oh, Lord.
What? And he's like, well, we've been seeing a lot of the time that these patients are on bed rest put in by the ordering physician, and it's an undetermined amount of bed rest, and da 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 goes on, probably like a 3-minute mm-hmm. tirade about the bed rest. So, and they're trying to be really nice, like, oh, we haven't heard that. We'll have mm-hmm. to look into the order set. I literally in the middle of this room said, but if we write a note saying we attempted and they were on bed rest, that should cover it, right? And they're like, mm-hmm.
Why are we talking about
that? They just said that. It's just people who want to hear themselves talk.
I had this coworker this week, and I guess right now she's not talking to me, which I think is funny. But anyway,
I want to harness this power that you have.
I don't know why people. Well, okay, never mind. I won't say that. Anyway, so this woman comes up to me, and there was a particular thing that occurred with some of us as coworkers there, where we moved some equipment around. And so because I'm a little bit more tech savvy than most people, like, I was able to move my stuff or move uh-huh. the stuff or whatever without any issue. So she comes to me and she asks me to help her. And I was like, hey, you know, this is, you know, the company's equipment, and I don't want to be held liable for it. If something happens with your equipment, I'll only be held liable for mine. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, oh, well, can you just at least like talk me through it? And I was like, I just ended up getting so not frustrated, but just like, I just had to professionally tell her how needy she was. So I literally said to this woman, I said, the amount of daily assistance that you require, I do not have the bandwidth to meet that need.
I would cry if someone
like it. I was just like, I don't understand how you operate at having and requiring such a high level of assistance daily.
Well, and have you seen all the TikToks that are like, women now are too in their masculine, and you need to live this softer life, and you need to ask for help, and you need to do all this shit. And I'm like, it just sounds so inefficient.
Not with another woman.
No.
Soft life with me.
I see these people who act like that, and I'm like, are you getting everything you want? Is this why you act like this?
Yeah.
Because it works? Obviously it has to. Like, we're doing the same fucking job here.
Yeah, and I just keep telling her no. So it makes
But I feel like also I'm not a lot of things, but what I am for the most part is socially aware. Okay. So when people come at me with that kind of shit, I'm like, oh, obviously they're telling me to fuck off. They're trying to be polite and tell me to leave them the fuck alone. Why does no one get that?
Because people are not self-aware. That's why.
I need y'all to take a hint.
Seriously. Well, speaking of take a hint.
Is this where you tell me something?
No. Speaking of taking a hint.
Uh-huh.
This one. No, we were talking about, because night before last, one of my really good friends, one of my best friends, she came in town. And so we went out to eat and everything. Mm-hmm. And we kind of noticed like the tipping culture, like our waiter was not very attentive. I'll say that. Now I will say, let me just preface this by saying I am a tipper. Okay. I tip all the time. Now, well, I mean, I'm going to pay for the bill. Yes. But I'm a tipper, and I don't like to go out to restaurants with people who do not tip, but I feel like tipping culture nowadays is a little bit hostile. Okay. And I'm going to give you a few examples. So I went to, one of the burger joints here, because it's a vegetarian burger place. And when I got my burger,
if it's vegetarian?
Yes, it is. It has lettuce, okay. tomatoes, onions, and mayo on 2 pieces
we'll
of bread.
We'll face off on that at another time.
And so when I paid for the meal, they were like, oh, do you want to add a tip? And I was like, well,
in the drive-thru?
In the drive-thru.
Oh, you got me fucked
up. In the drive-thru, they asked.
Did you hear that stutter? Starbucks does that too. Coffee places do that, I guess.
Okay, well, that's different because they're making specialty drinks, and you come up there, I want a Venti this, that, with this, that, hold the cream foam, bop, 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 boo-doo, bop, bop, bop. If I order a number one.
Scooby-Doo, bop, bop.
If I order a number one, there's no extra stuff that you need to do with
that. But also, your job is to just assemble these burgers, and you're already assembling them. You're just making one for me. I'm just getting that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm just like, the way tipping culture is so, weird and hostile. Like, so, for example, too, there was a article that I read that DoorDash released a statement saying that, allegedly, that your delays of your DoorDash orders may increase because of tipping or the lack thereof. And I just feel like, okay, I'm a person who does not use DoorDash. Do you use DoorDash?
Yes, but I would like to, I wish that showed you a history of just the times you've added items to your DoorDash cart, seen the total with the tip, and immediately removed it from your cart. I'm like, I'm not that hungry.
Yeah.
Because it's so overpriced. It's insane.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, okay, so that was kind of the discussion that my friend and I were having, because I was like, okay, when you order something from DoorDash, you are already surcharged, I believe. Like, so if your meal...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From Chick-fil-A costs normally $10 if you were to go through the drive-thru, and now it's $25 because of DoorDash.
It's like a delivery tax, then a service fee, then the driver fee, then a tip or something.
So my thing is, I don't understand why people are getting upset that people are not tipping them for DoorDash when you volunteer to do this, and whatever that surcharge is, DoorDash should be giving that to the driver. Because again, if I go through a drive-thru and I'm paying $10 for my meal, that's it. Like when I get Pizza Hut, they're driving that to me. I'm going to tip the driver because again, I'm not paying an extra surcharge for the food. Like that's a part of the service of having, you know, Pizza Hut or Domino's or whatever. But for DoorDash, you're charging an extra like 50% on top of that just to bring it. It's a service. But my thing is, send the service fee to the damn driver.
Yeah, they're getting ridiculous. Even at the movies, if you do a mobile ticket,
are you serious,
you get a $2 service charge instead of going to the theater and buying your ticket, you have used your phone. And so I don't know if you have to pay a company to facilitate all of those charges and that's what the fee is going towards, but I would think it's just the company.
Well, even in the grocery stores, they're doing that now. They're asking for like, oh, you want to leave a tip for the cashier? And I'm like, what?
To scan my own groceries? Absolutely not.
It's in self-checkout, not in the regular cashier area. No. Because, you know, even too, when I was growing up, or in South Florida specifically, Publix, I remember my best friend used to work for Publix for many, many years, ever since she was in high school. And I remember if you help somebody with their bags out to their car, you cannot accept the tip, which I think is the dumbest thing, because they always ask you, hey, do you want help putting your groceries in your car? Now, to me, that's an extra service that does not come along with you just regularly bringing up my groceries and stuff. So, yes, tipping should be, you know, you should be willing to tip, even sky caps and stuff like that at the airport. These people are picking up your bags and stuff like that. That's kind to tip. But in this industry, I feel like we are screaming at the consumers to tip, but nobody is screaming at the company to pay their workers
also
more money.
Services, I love good service. I will pay for good service.
Very true.
It's getting piss poorier and piss poorier.
Is that a word?
Yes, it is. And so like when we were in Europe, there you don't tip.
No, you There's don't. No they look tips. At you weird. It's disrespectful to tip.
And yeah, the servers are absent for half of your meal. Yeah. But I'm not fucking paying your tip. So exactly. It doesn't really matter. I'm okay over here because you're not getting any of my money. Besides, you know what I mean?
I wish people could tip us in healthcare.
People have tried to
tip me. I wiped your ass. I want you to tip me. I really don't, but
in ARU one time, this man, I told him the plan for a day, and he goes, and how much will that cost?
Aww.
And I was like, $150. Right. Oh, you want a shower on top? $350.
One of my coworkers, every time you ask her a question, and she answers your question, because she knows the answer to everything, and you're just like, hey, such, 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 such. And she's like, oh, okay, you get the answer. She's like, that'll be $5. And I'm like, well, as long as I owe you, you'll never go broke. But no, I think the service industry at large, like, us in the service industry, because we are, as physical and occupational therapists, we are in the business of service. But I just feel like, again, these company people, the consumers, the customers should not be held responsible for paying people living wages. Mm-hmm. And the company, the responsibility needs to be thrown back on the company to pay these people a living wage. There's no reason why in the year 2023, you working at Olive Garden, your base salary is $2.50. That's and then you insane. Get pissed off at a big party because they don't tip, but you're not getting pissed off at Olive Garden.
Yeah.
That just makes no sense. My tip should, you should be balling because of tips. Where not as in the result
came
of it.
From. And like where the 20% came from and the 15% came. Oh, and this whole gratuity added for big party shit.
Yeah, I don't like
y'all
that.
Y'all know I never read the receipt. Y'all know I'm going to tip on top of that. And exactly. You're betting on it. I'm pissed. I get pissed every time.
No, I read my receipts. But I don't have a problem tipping people, whether you're doing a good job or not. I just think that it's kind of, because even last night, the waiter that we had, he wasn't very attentive. But at the same time, I understood from his standpoint, he had a table with 10 plus people. So I'm like, okay. He's not paying us any attention. I asked about some pumpkin cheesecake. He got a little flat. I was just like, hey, do y'all have any pumpkin cheesecake? No. He just walks away. Well, bitch, I said I was ready to order, but okay, whatever. I still tipped him at the end of the day because I know that there are times where I'm at work and I don't feel like being all jolly and very attentive. So I can completely understand that. And I just met this guy. I'm not going to take his service personally. But if you just downright a piece of shit while you're serving somebody, I'm not giving you
a tip. Here's the thing. First of all, I will always tip a server because I wouldn't want to do that job and I appreciate you doing that. Seriously. Wouldn't want to fucking do it. At the end of the day, your job as a server is to what? Take my order and bring the food. That's truly it. And I would like for you to not do it with a stank ass attitude. But if you did, so what? You still did your job.
Exactly.
So I appreciate when people, you know, go above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And I like to show appreciation for that.
Yeah.
But also it's hard out here.
It is. But I think again, the responsibility and the accountability needs to be put back on these large greedy ass corporations who do not pay their servers and do not pay their workers. That's who you should be pissed off at. That's who we all should be pissed off at.
Where did that start that we're going to pay you $1 an hour, but hopefully you'll get tips?
Because I don't know, probably some white man.
He was like, okay, I have this great business idea. Yeah. We're not going to pay you.
Same people as credit cards.
If these people would like to pay you.
Exactly. Because people were probably capitalizing too much on making too many tips. And then they were canceling their shifts. And so they're like, you know what? We're going to make your base salary $2. And it's just like, that should be illegal that an Olive Garden waitress or waiter salary is below minimum wage. That makes
really
no damn sense.
On Olive Garden today.
Well, I mean, I haven't gone to Olive Garden very long.
Well, do you
time.
Know? And I've never.
I don't know what Olive Garden pays. This is all.
I literally haven't been to Olive Garden in years. I never talk about it. I never crave it. In the last 2 weeks, out of my mouth, the words Olive Garden have come out probably 4 or 5 times.
Really? Yeah. I haven't been to Olive Garden.
It's been on
in
my
years.
Mind.
I don't
there
really
must
like
be a
pasta
TikTok
like that.
About it or something.
Yeah, I don't really like pasta like that. What really? Were you talking about? I mean, I do, but.
Not
it just makes
Olive
me
Garden.
Bloated, you know, yeah, it and it makes my, it makes me have a moon face. So yeah.
Cute.
No, it's not. What were you talking about, Elon Musk?
If you've ever sat and thought, man, I wish someone would shave my head, drill a hole into my skull, implant a microchip that kind of works as what Elon calls a Fitbit of your brain for an experimental basis, then boy, oh boy, does Elon Musk have the opportunity for you.
I don't trust any of that man.
He is
okay.
Asking for volunteers now for his brain microchip that he's trying to launch. And he has thousands of people volunteering.
Okay, wait. So, okay, here's my question.
Yeah.
In the world of research, we know that research has to be approved and to make sure that it doesn't harm humans or species and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I heard about that.
What governing body is going to allow him to practice on humans even if they want to participate in this?
I don't know how it works. Oh, the FDA.
The FDA is approving that.
Neuralink is what it's called. And it has FDA clearance to start messing with people's heads.
This is how you know, allegedly, that the FDA is paid off. Because they ban the research of stem cells. Stem cells. But you're going to let this man practice on people's brains? Wow.
Why do I need a Fitbit in my brain?
What are you trying to make
Ozempic and insulin free?
This is why everybody needs to watch The 100. Go watch The 100 on Netflix and you'll see what this is about. Like season 5, you'll see it.
It aims to operate on 11 people next year and over 22,000 by 2030.
Oh my God. I want off this planet. I want off this planet.
Can you
Jesus
Fitbit
Lord.
Fit in your skull?
What do The Simpsons have to say about this? Do we have an episode of The Simpsons about that?
No, I don't. I don't watch The Simpsons.
No. It's very educational. It's very
just,
predictable.
It
too.
Just makes me scared.
Well, yeah, true.
It's kind of like how true. I feel when I watch Black Mirror, because I'm like, oh, this could 100% happen.
Oh, well.
But yeah, Elon's at it again. He's always doing some crazy shit. Didn't he said he would pay Wikipedia a crazy amount of money to change their name to Dickipedia? Did you see that?
This is how you know he, okay, Elon, and this is not a threat against his life. I repeat, this is not a threat against his life. People who start wondering stuff like this need to get off this planet, because you are so rich and wealthy that you are bored with regular human activity.
Well, my question is, like, you know how they say, like, art begets life, da 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 da, mm-hmm. and, like, people make these crazy memes about him. Mm-hmm. Now I genuinely don't know what's real and what's fake. And I feel like 15, 20 years ago, there were all these conversations about, like, the internet's going to get so crazy, you won't know what's real and mm-hmm. what's fake. I genuinely don't know what's real and what's fake.
AI. Anymore.
Someone could tell me that Elon Musk wanted to implant a chip in everyone's brain. I'd be like, that sounds insane. But it's fucking true.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Whenever you even say, even speaking of the internet and stuff, that apparently there's some kind of solar activity that's been going on, allegedly, that it could wipe out the internet for like a week, like, or that, a month, like, or whatever. Like the
Netflix movie that's coming
yes. out? Yes. And I'm just like, people are just like, I saw Charlamagne the guy, he posted, he was just like, thank God, the great disconnect. I was like, sir, I don't think you understand where our society is. And I'm thinking about simply from the medical field. Everything is geared toward Wi-Fi, the mm-hmm. internet, how we access things, how drugs are accessed. You can't get into a Pyxis. It was an episode of Grey's Anatomy. Somebody hacked the hospital. They could not give medication or even find out people's blood type and their cross match and whatnot because they had no Wi-Fi.
Ma'am, the other day at the hospital, our server went down, Meditech went down.
Oh, really?
You would think, and like, first of all, it's a hospital.
I kind of love when that happens because you don't have to do work.
It's fun. It's like a movie day at work. Yeah. Like a movie day in school.
That's we can't see. This is not safe. I can't see any patients.
Oh, my God. Which, it's not fucking safe. You don't know it's anything not. About any of your patients. Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, our job, like, we are the last people that need to worry about anything. Everyone will be true. Okay. You can figure it out. Yeah. Whatever. But, and everyone in the hospital, for the most part, if you're doing direct patient care, you are educated to an extent.
To an extent, yeah.
Like, you, and you should see everyone, as soon as the computers go out, everyone's like, well, I don't know what the fuck to do.
Right.
Everything's on the computer. Right. You don't know what medicines someone just got, when mm-hmm. they got them. You don't know how to pull meds. You don't know, I can't look yeah. up a chart. You don't, it's insane.
You don't know their weight weight bearing.
No, you don't know anything about every yeah. single thing. And yeah, they have the heart chart. No one, half the shit's on the heart chart. Where is it? No one knows where it's at.
Exactly.
And all of these people who are educated and do this job every day, everyone's like, no one knows what to do.
It's scary because so much of our lives is on Wi-Fi.
Oh, I know one phone number.
Oh, see, I know. See, I come from the generation of knowing phone numbers. That's true. So I memorize phone
actually,
numbers.
I know two. I know my mom's phone number and my best friend's mom's phone number. And that's on some pre-cell phone shit.
I know at least 20 people's phone numbers.
Off the top of your head. Yeah, and that's why I know if something happens to this world, only people over 35 will survive.
Absolutely. Because we survive without it.
Yeah. You've had that. There's that part of your brain mm-hmm. that had to be developed. I've yeah. been given everything.
Critical thinking.
That one.
Survivability. Yeah.
Yeah. Executive functioning.
Yes.
All that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm doomed.
It's scary to think about that because I'm just like, most people's houses are run off Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Your security cameras or your TV or your, you know.
Where's the physical key to my house?
Okay, don't tell anybody that.
But, well, the shit's locked down. It's like Fort Knox.
Right.
Which I am allowed to do. Well, I have it somewhere. But I don't use the physical key to my house hardly ever because I have all these other locks through Wi-Fi through the keypad.
Well, even most people's starters in their car.
Yeah.
They don't have, like, an actual key.
Yeah, how do you start your car if it's keyless?
I have a key.
You have a key?
Mm-hmm.
I loved having it.
Because Hondas and Toyotas will not get rid of their starters because of that. It's a reliability issue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they don't trust remote smart. Start. Yeah. But no, I definitely have a key. I have a physical key that I have to put into my ignition.
I love that.
Yeah. And I won't get rid of it.
Yeah. But, so it's the end of the world as we know it, people.
It is.
Also, probably don't. I know I was an advocate for the Apple chip in the wrist because I would love to not have to carry any identification and or a credit card.
That's definitely a Gen Z thing.
But a microchip in the brain just sounds a little.
Nah,
I also watched that HBO show, remember? That was like.
Upload?
No, but that was a good one, too.
Yeah.
This one was about, like, a Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk type of person implants a chip into his girlfriend because it's supposed to be, like, it brings you closer together.
Soulmates. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember you telling me about that.
That shit went south. So.
Yeah. Well, even The 100 and even, what was the other one you were telling me about? Black Mirror, mm-hmm. with, you know, you put the little, what is it, swallow a pill or something. They put some kind of chip somewhere in the back of their head or attaches to the back of their skull, and then they are in a whole video game. It's crazy.
I'm like, hello, have y'all seen The Matrix?
Sears? The Matrix was made how many years ago? And we Keanu forget.
Trying to tell y'all.
I mean, come on. Lawrence Fishburne, even Jada was in there. At one point.
Come on.
It's crazy. Well, speaking of Jada, adjacent to Jada, who released a new book. What were we talking about Britney Spears and her book?
So I read with my ears the Britney Spears audio.
You listened to an audiobook?
Yeah.
I'm very proud of you. You're trying to be like me.
Well, it's nice because you don't have, like, if you don't have time to read, but you still want to read something.
Sure.
You can be doing a bunch of other stuff.
Very true.
Which is, I listen to them all. Yeah, very time, not time consuming. Time efficient? Time-wise?
Time efficient.
Time, mm-hmm. Okay, anyway. That was such a good book.
Really?
So Michelle Williams is reading it, not Destiny's Child, Michelle Williams. Mm-hmm. People have been getting that a little confused.
Yeah. I think we know if it was Michelle Williams.
Can you imagine? Child. Michelle Williams reads it, and I forgot it was her. I literally thought it was Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she makes her voice sound like that, but it's amazing. That book was so telling and informative and shocking, but fair. It's not just like a trash talking gossip loaded, like, let me tell you all these salacious things. She's just like, there's so many times, look, she was like, yeah, you guys probably thought I was crazy because the things I did looked crazy, but I was going crazy. And mm-hmm. here's the reason why.
Yeah.
And it just talks about how shitty her dad was and how horrible her sister was and how she just loved dancing and performing. So for a while, she didn't give a shit that everyone mm-hmm. was using her. And then she looked around and she was like, okay, well, I want to stop and I can't. No one will let me.
Yeah.
And you guys are ruining my life. And just how horrible they were to her.
Ashley O.
Yeah. And then, like, of course, so that she talks about, like, the Justin stuff in the early days mm-hmm. and when she was really, and that's cool too, just to hear, like, what she was going through. Mm-hmm. But the whole back half of the book is just about the conservatorship and
yeah.
how much she was working, how little she had control of her own money, how much her dad was making, mm-hmm. how horrible her life was. And it's sad. It's just like, even she is one, it's like Michael Jackson, Britney Spears, like those names, mm-hmm. everyone all over the world knows those names. She was so powerful. Britney Spears was
a phenom.
I think back and like even the things she was saying, she'll read stats about herself mm-hmm. like I was the first woman to do this and yeah. I was holding and I was like, you were.
I think her phenom was even greater at that time than Taylor Swift is now.
I would agree.
Like Britney Spears was the it girl, like yeah. across the board. People went crazy over Britney Spears mm-hmm. and just internationally, like Taylor Swift, they got shit on Britney Spears, and especially in that time where social media was not a thing, it was crazy.
That the big pandemonium without the constant right. media publicity of
exactly.
social media, which is insane to me, and like the record sales, shit, crazy.
Yep.
And to just know that she was like a fucking prisoner and couldn't do anything,
and people were just like, oh my god, I wish I had Britney Spears' life. No, the hell you don't. You better stop wishing and hoping and praying for these celebrities' lives because you don't know what the hell they're going through.
She talks about how one night she wanted to take her dancers out for dinner. This is when I think she was doing the Vegas residency, mm-hmm. and she was just like, we had had a good show. It was a good run. I was so proud of them. Took them out for dinner. Her card got declined because she got an allowance weekly.
Wow,
of like $2,000 or something.
That is insane.
And I was like, to be Britney Spears.
Yes.
And not have, like, that is insane.
I wonder if she could sue the shit out of her dad. I would sue him.
Yeah. I don't know if she could because she probably could. She may be.
Because I want to know how much money this man actually took from her. Oh,
he was bringing like $60 million or something crazy like that.
Jesus.
And he was paying everyone around her who was making her life hell a shit ton of money so that they would keep.
Wow.
It was like every time she said at one point, every time she left a room, he was informed about it. She couldn't have her own cell phone. She couldn't have anything.
I don't think conservatorship should be allowed for anyone who does not have a documented disability.
Yeah.
That to me, conservatorship should only be utilized for those purposes. People who are incapacitated, who cannot make decisions for themselves, not that you just try to deem crazy, especially in the entertainment industry. If these famous people want to spend all their fucking money, if Wendy Williams want to spend her money, mm-hmm. let her the fuck do it. Also, she earned the right to do whatever she want to do with her money.
Every 3 months, it needs to be reevaluated. Like, yes. Are they doing better? Exactly. Are they doing better?
And you as a conservator should have a limit on how much you are paid. What was your fee before? That's what you're going to maintain. And all the other bills should now be taken into consideration. And it should be a whole, you should only get an allowance. If this person is getting an allowance, you should get an allowance too, because that's dangerous.
Well, and even at the end, she was like, at one point she told the judge, I don't care if I have a conservator. I just do not want it to be this man. Yeah. Please get him out of here. And they were like, no.
That's what I'm saying. And he was probably paying him off.
Yeah. And allegedly. She was like, so you're telling me I can perform all of these shows. I've been doing this Vegas residency. I can go out here and do all these things and do press interviews, but I can't control my own life.
That's
I can't
insane.
Manage my own money. It was shocking.
I blame Kevin Federline.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Cause the downward spiral came with him. And her kids too. I would have gave them kids. Get away from my parental rights.
And that's
rights.
All they did was dangle the kids in front of her, and all she wanted to do was be with the kids. Yeah.
And I'd be like, fuck them kids. I can have some more. Fuck them. As Ms. Pat would say, fuck them kids, because they made her life a living hell.
So if you were interested in reading it, like even have an inkling of reading it, would do it. It was good. I also saw this week, I know we're not there, but no, we're just talking about celebrities. I watched Priscilla, the new Elvis movie that came out.
Well, isn't that controversial though? Because she was a minor.
Oh,
when he married her, she statutory was, rape.
There's a 10-year age difference. 14, 24. My That's Lord. When they met. So Priscilla Presley wrote a book called Elvis and Me, which is what this movie is based off of. Did you see the Elvis movie, the Baz Luhrmann Elvis
Definitely
movie?
Definitely not.
Not a fan. It was like Tom Hanks freaked me the fuck out in that movie. And it was like a weird acid trip of an Elvis movie. This is all about Priscilla, basically, because she was fucking 14. She met him in Germany because she was on a military base. He was in the military. Mm-hmm. Bitch, she flies back over here at like 16, starts staying with him. Mm-hmm. They're married by 20. And so it's insane because he just it is very much giving Kim Kanye, if there was an age gap, the way he used to like dress her up and had to make sure she looked like this.
Very pedo-ish.
And very like she was nothing, but he let her into all these spaces and she felt like, oh, I'm someone with you.
Yeah.
Very like that. But it was very good. It was very interesting to see. Yeah, you probably won't, but it was just interesting. And he groomed the fuck out of her.
Yeah. Well, why else would you be with a 14-year-old?
Yeah, and I think he like...
And not a 24-year-old when you're 24.
When you're Elvis.
That's what you could have anybody. You wanted somebody to control.
It's like Drake. Drake's with all these 16-year-old girls, and you're like, that's weird. It's Drake, allegedly. That's weird. It's Drake. It's the same weird shit, but it was like he kept her as a pet. Allegedly. He kept her as a pet. That's what it seems like. Like he wanted her to be this perfect girl with her. He didn't even have sex with her very much, says Priscilla Presley in her book. Like that was the problem too. Because she was like 18 and wanted to have sex with her boyfriend. And he was like, no.
What, was he gay?
No, he was fucking all these other women.
But you didn't want to have sex with your wife?
Like, I'm telling you, he like kept her as this weird pet. I don't understand it.
Maybe he was never sexually attracted to him. I don't know. That's weird.
I don't know, because she maintains that they did not have sex until she was married to him, that they would do other stuff, but they didn't have intercourse, right? And even once they were married, he would, like, it was very seldom that they would sleep together.
Wow.
But he was off sleeping with all of these other women.
That is really, maybe he wanted her to remain pure. He was like, oh, I probably got some of them fucking around with all these other women. That's
it was really weird. But if you're interested in that, I would also see it.
Well, child stars, piggybacking off of, this is a not so great topic, but we got to talk about it. So Kiki Palmer, who is an amazing child star, we all know and love from, she was in a beauty shop. She was in
Akilah and the Bee.
She was true vaping Jackson VP. She, played.
What's the other one? Not Akilah and the Bee, but the jump rope one. Was she in a jump rope movie?
No. Now that I can recall. She did the Carolina White story on Lifetime. She also did, own talk 3LW? Show. No.
Not in 3LW. Or what's the show? TLC is the TLC biopic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So unfortunately, y'all know how we talked about it on this show previously, and we reported that.
Jump in. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, that she had a baby by
Baby Bummy, baby.
The dude's brother from Insecure. Darius Jackson. Right. So they had a baby together, and more notably about their relationship. Nobody knows who this guy is, right? But the point is, she went to Usher's show in this beautiful see-through outfit, right? That was very, very sexy, very gorgeous. And he went on Twitter to say, but you're a mom. Put on some damn clothes, basically, allegedly, right? So it just came out this week that, unfortunately, she has been the victim of domestic violence with this relationship with him. So much so that her mother actually came out and said something. And one thing about Miss Sharon, she don't ever say nothing. She barely posts on social media. So for his, for her mother to come out and make a statement, you know, talking about this situation was, you could definitely tell there's some truth behind it. Allegedly, I'm just saying allegedly for the protection of our podcast. Yeah. But also too, Keke Palmer ended up posting some still images from her security footage because this past week, she was granted a restraining order and full temporary custody of their son before they could have anything, before the trial and all that kind of stuff or some further findings. And he now has, all his visitation is taken away at this point because of the restraining order that's in
place. And the courts don't play.
The courts do not play. And two, again, she has this footage of security footage in her house where he trespassed. There's a steel frame of him, like she's halfway on the couch. And apparently she's been enduring this for like a year or something like that, allegedly. Just think it's so sad because, again, you talk about, you know, picking it back and off of Britney Spears, and you see these people's lives. You see them in front of the camera. You see them on social media, and they look so happy and so amazing and all of the kind of stuff. And you don't know the dark shit that they're dealing with. And then you look at them, oh, it's relationship goals. No, the fuck it ain't.
Mm-mm. Did you see, so Darius's brother is Dro from Insecure.
Right.
Did you see his tweet and delete? Mm-mm. He tweeted and he said... My phone locked. Hold. The most disgusting, vile, abusive, manipulative person I have ever encountered in my entire life. ... Abuses almost everyone. Y'all will see. Just send positive energy to the babies. Any child in the middle of something like this does not deserve it at all. Wow. So damn sad.
Was he talking about his brother?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Because he couldn't have been talking about Keke.
I know.
Keke don't have a history of abuse.
Yeah. So that was my question. I would assume he was talking about Keke Palmer because it's his brother, but his brother is the one that's being
accused of being abusive. Yeah.
So who would have known Insecure would be such a hotbed?
That they got a lot going on.
Because so Keke Palmer met her baby daddy, now ex, through Insecure because she was on Insecure.
Mm-hmm. She played sister Condola, not Condola. Well, that's her real name.
Condola's sister.
No, that's not her real name. I'm sorry.
I don't know what
Condola is. The girl on the show.
Yes,
but it's not her real name. The real Condola is Felicia Rashad's
Christina
daughter.
Elmore.
Yes.
And Keke Palmer ate that shit up.
She did. She wanted to be an enemy of Condola, but Issa ended up making her the sister of her.
And she was too good. I hated her on that show.
I did too. She played it very well, but I just think it's really sad because, again, we live in a day and age where, again, people glorify people's lives when you don't know the real truth of what's going on. Mm-hmm. People only show you snippets of their life and you think that you know them. And, you know, you look at her and you would never suspect that she's going through this because she's such a vocal person on social media about, you know, respecting women and, you know, men taking care of their responsibilities and women taking care of their responsibilities. And then for her to be going through this, you know, it's really sad because it's just like, damn. You know.
Oh, I thought you were. Okay.
No, damn. No, I'm just saying.
I think money and fame make everything harder. I don't think it ever makes things.
But I think it also makes it difficult too when you have a woman who makes more money than you and who's more famous than you. But I'm like, dude, you knew she was famous when you first met her. So this idea that she was going to dumb herself down to be able to be on your level is stupid. You should have just brought yourself up.
Also, I don't ever know why people fix their fingers to tweet some shit about their partner that is famous.
Well, you could tell he had no access to her. That's why he tweeted that shit. Because if you felt like she was having an issue with her clothing and that she was dressing too sexy, you should have texted that to her. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she probably ignored you and then you decided to take it to Twitter, like people were going to come against her and be on your side. No, sir, that's not the way that's going
to
work.
And I hate to say this, but these pictures of him give random man in Atlanta. Do you know the vibe? Like, yes. That's the vibe. Like, who?
Shouts out to Morgan on TikTok.
Yeah, like you, I would never be able to. Who is this? Who is this man? Sorry to this man. Mm-mm. Keke Palmer is an unsung hero.
She's America's sweetheart.
Everyone's gonna rally behind her. You fucked up,
always,
sir.
Always.
You went after our girl. What's Keke's? Is Keke her full name?
No, her name is Lauren. Lauren Kiana Palmer. Mm. But her sister called her Keke, so that's where she gets
Keke. Okay, well,
I only know that because I just watched the interview about it. I knew Keke wasn't her real name. I knew it was Lauren, but I didn't know where they got the Keke from.
Well, pray for, what's her baby's name? Like Ladarius or something?
Leotis. The oldest ass country bumpkin Leotis. Name. Leotis. Just like, Jesus, Lord. She was dead serious. Hey, Leotis. But anyway, speaking of other prayers, we got to talk about it because we are a socially responsible podcast. I won't generalize this. I am personally praying for it. And not because you're not. I'm just saying I don't want to put my opinions on you.
She just threw that under the bus.
I just don't want to, because I don't know where you stand on it. I'm a
humanitarian. God damn it.
Humanitarian. I just don't want to. I don't want to speak for you. So I will speak for me only, mm-hmm. because I know this is a very sensitive topic and there's people on different aisles and whatnot. But I am personally praying for the people that are in Congo. As they are going through a silent genocide. And I think over like 2 or 3 million people have now died as a result. There are a lot of companies, tech companies. I think Apple allegedly is one of them that is currently stripping Congo of its natural resource of, I think it's coltan or it may be cobalt, something like that. It's the stuff that we use to make phones and iPads and all that kind of stuff and electric vehicles. And they are raping these women. They're literally genociding the crap out of Congo. So we are praying for the safety and refuge of these wonderful, beautiful people. Also, too, I am personally continuing to pray for the people, the Palestinian people in Gaza who are undergoing currently a genocide that is being recorded. At the hands of descendants of people who survived genocide, which is sad. And I've been following some of the social media. I don't want to call them influencers because they're in the middle of a genocide and that's not being influenced. That's beyond
feet on the boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground. And they are recording, documenting a lot of stuff of what's actually going on. And it's sad because they're bombing hospitals. Mm-hmm. Israel is bombing hospitals. Where people are going for refuge. And I just, side note, as a healthcare worker, I cannot imagine my house is bombed, my family is killed, and I'm stuck at work and you decide to bomb my job.
The same way y'all feel about people shooting up schools where kids should be safe.
Seriously.
Is the same way you should feel about a hospital being bombed.
Yep.
There are some places that have always been off limits.
Off limits to war. But this is not a war. This is a genocide, and that's why they don't care. Israel doesn't care specifically.
Well, just so everybody knows, I'm also praying for everyone.
I just don't like to put my views on to you unless I know we've talked about it collectively, but.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. I didn't even know about all the shit going on in the Congo.
Yeah, because it's black people. I'm just being honest, I didn't know either.
Did you just see? No, probably not.
I think we may need to rethink Kanye's plate. That's all I'm saying. We may need to do an apology tour with Kanye, and I won't further explain right now. But I think maybe I owe Kanye an apology.
That I have always thought about Kanye West. I think
you always believed him.
I believe him because I think that when you have been in that kind of space for so long, you mm-hmm. see a lot of shit. I think he talks out of the side of his neck a lot. Yeah. There's truth to what he's saying, but he doesn't know how to play the game. And that's why everyone calls him a loose cannon. Like if he became like even like a John Legend sort of situation, okay. who kind of just sits there, yeah. says things. When he says something, people rally behind him, right. because he knows how to be on the quote right side of an argument, mm-hmm. or say things that don't kind of piss people off, yeah. but then knows the right moves to make. Kanye West just like will fly off.
George Bush doesn't like black people. Yes. Like, whoa, we're live.
What he was trying to say was, wow, it sure doesn't feel like the American government gives a fuck about the people in New Orleans, mm-hmm. considering we're all dying. We're stuck in a huge arena and no one's letting us out. That's not what he said. So I'm like,
He wasn't wrong.
What he was saying was that these people were being treated horribly and that the government shouldn't be doing more. He needed a little more media training. He mm-hmm. did also have mental health issues. But then I just listened to this podcast that was kind of chronicling him and Adidas and all of their. So
yeah,
he brought so much money to that company.
He did.
He was doing such awful shit within that company. Mm-hmm. And I think he does shit just to piss people off because he can a lot of the time, which also doesn't work in your favor. Because then when you're trying to make a point, people are like, you just do things to piss you off.
To his defense, to a degree, as I'm learning and unlearning a lot, especially with this genocide that's happening over in Palestine, we as Americans are unlearning a lot of stuff that we thought was real or mm-hmm. we thought was truthful. Going back to your point earlier about you don't know on social media or on just on the news what's real and what's not. And I think some of the stuff that Kanye has said is truthful. obviously his delivery was a bit much for people to digest.
Right.
So it made it seem like he's crazy and off his meds, which I've personally said, right? Which I still think he was off his meds. I mean, he's crazy. I think he was off his medications. But yeah. also, too, even with him being off his medications, there was still truth in what he was saying to a degree.
Correct. And we've had this whole, like, there is, you can't say, we've had this conversation before about mm-hmm. specifically how you can't speak out or speak negatively about Jewish people in Hollywood mm-hmm. a lot of the time, because immediately, no matter what you say,
you're anti-Semitic.
People yeah. will shut it down because there's this mm-hmm. fear of, you know, they own so much of the industry. Right. You will get into all of these things. I think a lot of the things he does is like, oh, you think this is bad? This is just a symbol. It doesn't mean anything unless you put meaning to it. Oh, mm-hmm. you think this is crazy? It doesn't actually mean anything yeah. until you put this meaning to it.
Yeah.
But still, when people hear crazy things, it's a lot easier to be like, oh, that's crazy, and we got to denounce it right. so that we don't get pulled into it.
Yeah.
Than to be like, you know.
And I think him saying it really opened up a door, but he didn't know how to navigate through that door. I think if it would have been like an Amanda Seales saying yeah. what he said, she has the education and not only the education, but she has the articulation to be able to make the points valid that he was saying to a degree. And you're seeing it play out in real time, especially with Israel versus Palestine, because it's not Palestine versus Israel. It's, in my personal opinion, from the research that I've done. And then also, mm-hmm. too, I think we get into this very dangerous rhetoric that anytime you go against this big machine, that now you're anti-Semitic. First of all, just because I disagree with you does not mean that I feel like you deserve to die. Because that's not, let's stop with the bullshit. Let's stop with calling people anti-Semitic who disagree with the fact that Israel is literally committing war crimes and a genocide on people who can't even fight back. You're bombing hospitals. They didn't even do that shit in Vietnam, World War One, World War Two. They didn't do none of that shit. Hospitals are off limits. Mm-hmm. Children schools are off limits. Hospitals. Schools are off limits, and you're bombing them, talking about, that's not us, that's Hamas. Bullshit. Mm-hmm. Because they're recording it. It's this, which is why, again, they wanted to ban TikTok, because that's the only app right now where globally everyone is able to see the same shit in real time.
Who would have thought this little dance app?
Well, and even too, there was this one guy, I wish I remember his name from TikTok. He made a very good point with regard to the whole actors and writers strike. Because as you all know, or this past week, the actors strike is now done. Mm-hmm. They've come to an agreement. So now the writers strike was done, I think, 2 weeks ago. And now the actors strike. So everybody's getting back their ass to work. But I think what he was saying, which I agree with, is that 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, you know, Hollywood walked away from the table from the actors saying, no, we want y'all to lose y'all houses. Allegedly, that's uh-huh. what they were saying. We don't care if you lose your houses, your cars, all that bullshit. Now that the media has turned against Israel and all of these countries are coming together in solidarity, especially these Muslim countries, they are coming together to say, okay, bitch, you don't went too far when you bombed this hospital. And now they're scrambling, trying to get their media attention back. Now they're just like, oh, let's get back to work in Hollywood. We're going to distract you with this, because right now,
give you something to binge.
Exactly. Everybody is focused on Palestine and Israel.
Because you took away my goddamn Netflix special.
Exactly. So now that they're bringing it back, they're just like, oh, let's let everybody get mm-hmm. back to, this is going to release now and that's going to release now. And it makes sense that you would literally do this because you want to make sure that you're on the right side of the coin. And you're not. You're killing innocent people who do not have guns. Even, what was his name? He's a president in Africa. I can't remember his name, but he made a comment and he said, first of all, you're sitting here killing unarmed men and women. Okay. Number two, even if Hamas was in the hospital, you don't blow up the goddamn hospital.
And that's how it's always been.
You send tactical teams. Israel is funded by the United States of America. Let's be clear. That's not a legend. That's a fact. Okay. Follow the money. At the end of the day, when Osama bin Laden was over in Afghanistan, right, and doing what he did, they sent tactical teams on the ground.
Do you know how many checks they have to do before they can pull the trigger on that shit?
Thank you.
Because they know in this country, as soon as we get wind of it, it's a whole fucking thing.
And I'm not saying that there were no casualties and that the United States did not drop bombs on people that shouldn't have been, because they surely did.
There are so many you can't.
There's checks and balances.
You cannot just go in and fucking open fire on people. Because guess what? We're going to find out everything.
Thank you.
You cannot do that shit.
You, even if the Hamas was hiding in schools, you don't bomb the whole damn school. There's innocent people that are living there. And then again, like there was this other video that I was watching that was talking about, as much as the ideology of the United States of America, we think we're this country that's like, well, we're the victims. And everybody else is against us. No, the United States of America is the biggest villain in this entire globe. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, people who live on this globe and in the United States, we don't agree with 100% of the shit that our government does. So please don't think that every American thinks that our United States government is correct and justified in what they are doing, because we don't believe that.
Do you know, okay, the video, it's that old show, Wife Swap. You remember Wife Swap? Yeah. Do you remember that little boy who only wanted to eat chicken nuggets? He's wearing that like red shirt and the mom was like a healthy vegan mom. He's mm-hmm. like, oh my God.
I just remember the lady, dark sided!
Okay. Okay,
if you love Jesus, you can stay.
I'll have to show you this video, but okay. He's just like this little boy, but like talks like a man, but is throwing these fits because he just wants to eat chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to eat whatever. I'll have to show you.
It's is so he autistic?
Funny. No, he's just from like Louisiana or something.
I was gonna say, because you know kids have texture issues. And...
Okay, and you know what? I do not know for sure that he did not have some kind of autism.
He could but, possibly.
From what I know, he didn't. Hold okay. on. Wife swap chicken nuggets. Okay, I'm so glad this was the first video that popped up.
Put it in your
chicken nuggets.
They're good.
Curtis, what you want for breakfast?
Chicken nuggets.
Okay.
Chicken nuggets.
Okay,
let me
find
the
part where
he,
okay.
We can do it.
I don't like this crap.
Definitely no cheese in a can.
So the mom is white, the biological mom is white, and the wife swap is black.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon is good for me. It's she can do it in my family. She's at like, she's the queen and we're the sorry people.
All that to say, this is the United States of America.
Yeah.
Like this little child running around that basically does run the house because no one wants to deal with his bullshit and everyone's so like, this is just give him what he wants. We are the chicken nugget kid.
Yeah. And then too, we keep going around to other countries trying to make them into little America. Mm-hmm. And then even when they were talking about this whole ceasefire and trying to come together globally, all these other countries are saying, yes, there needs to be a ceasefire. And they asked Joe Biden, old decrepit ass, talking about, what are the odds or the chances of a ceasefire? He's like, none, zero.
Well, and
you're not getting reelected. I hope you had a great 4 years, Joe, because you I promise you won't be back in that seat again.
What just happened? We went over to the Middle East. We tried to make it like America. We did all of these things and we made women educated and we let them join all these things. And we just like, for better or for worse, dismantled their entire culture.
You destabilized it.
To what? Then pull out and it all went to shit. And now you have, like, it doesn't exactly. work. You cannot go do that to people.
And the thing is, I don't blame Joe Biden for destabilizing the Middle East, because let's be clear. Once we went into the Middle East, there were other presidents that already had a presence there mm-hmm. that was working on some shit. This is coming from the Bush, from the Daddy Bush administration to the Clinton administration, the son Bush, Barack Obama, now Trump, and then Joe Biden. All of them had Congress
running rampant.
And it's not just the presidents of the United States. Let's be clear. They're not just to blame, because Congress has to approve certain shit. Mm-hmm. And it's Congress also that's to blame for the destabilization in the Middle East. And this idea that women, here's the thing, I'm again a sexist, I'm not a feminist.
She people said it once, she'll
people
say it
have rules and regulations in their countries for specific reasons. And the way that the media does, we've all been brainwashed to a degree, because that's why I said too, we're unlearning a lot of stuff. We look at these other countries as they're horrible. We look at these men like, you know, Gaddafi and say, oh, he's a horrible person. Well, why was he horrible? Because he was trying to ensure the success of the continent of Africa. Mm-hmm. That's why you didn't want unity between Africa. You've always wanted it to be divided. Even Nelson Mandela said, none of us are free until Palestine is free. You going to go against Nelson Mandela?
I wouldn't. The man who can't die. When is he?
He died.
I know, but it's the Mandela effect, you know?
Well, that, I don't think that's the same Mandela that they're talking about. But
yeah, how everyone thought he was dead before he died.
That's very true. So and when that did Sinbad didn't do Shazam, and he did.
Yes. When did he actually die?
He died. It was sometime after Beyonce became famous. I just remember because he asked her to perform for him in Africa, and she did.
As long as he was
maybe able it was like the early 2000s.
Beyonce. He died in 2013.
Oh, boom! I told you.
That was not the early 2000s.
We are still technically in the early 2000s.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. So I was right. Technically, I'm right. But yeah, I just think that, you know, it's just sad because the one TikTok creator, she's posts on Instagram and on TikTok, and it's gut wrenching being on this side. I mean, it's no comparison to being in Gaza right now, but as a consumer of what is going on, and this girl is literally documenting not just her, but there are also a lot of other people that are digitally diarying and basically being like your modern day Anne Frank, right? Mm-hmm. And they're on the grounds and they're documenting this stuff. And whenever they can get service and whenever they can get electricity, they're uploading it, and every day you're just waiting, holding your breath, like, has she posted yet? Does anybody know anything? And you can't just, you know, nobody else has access to this girl. So she literally comes on, she's like, "Hi, this is Basan. I'm still alive." That's literally her first two lines that she says every time. "This is Basan. I'm still alive. Here's what's happening. This is the date. This is the time, blah, blah, blah. You know, the Israeli soldiers have done this, they've done that." And it's not just her saying what they're doing, she's showing it. And some people are like, "Well, why are you showing, you know, these bodies laying here?" No. That shit needs to be documented.
Also, how the fuck would you react if that was what you were seeing?
Exactly. Somebody else to see
it. I had a busted pipe in my front yard. Guess what I did? Recorded it. Sent it to everyone. Hell I knew. Yeah. You got to see that. You're telling me there's dead bodies laying in my front yard? I'm not recording that shit. Absolutely. To send it out. Y'all need to know what's happening.
Because the only way that people, that you affect change is by putting it in their face, which is, again, why we can go back as far as the Rodney King beatings that occurred. That shit needed to be recorded, and mm-hmm. people needed to see it. And as technology has advanced, it is our responsibility to look at it and to record that shit so that we can have an account for it, because all we have are pictures from the Holocaust. All we have are pictures from the days of the enslaved, mm-hmm. and it's atrocious, but we can put them away. But when that shit is constantly in your timeline, you can't escape that. And then now Joe Biden is like, "Well, Israel did agree to do a 4-hour ceasefire every day. So you're going to bomb me for 20 hours of the damn day?"
Well, you get 4 off, so you should be thankful.
Oh, my God.
That is so true, what you said about just having pictures of the Holocaust and things. It's one thing to hear about something that happened years ago, mm-hmm. to people who don't look like you, not even just like your race, ethnicity, skin tone, mm-hmm. but like old. They look old in these pictures.
This happened so long ago.
Yeah, you dissociate from it. Mm-hmm. Like, that was horrible. We can't imagine it. Wow.
Yeah.
This shit is like, these people look like me. Mm-hmm. This, it's like they had lives like I do.
Yeah.
This shit could be me if I had just been born
in a different place.
It's insane.
Even with the stuff that's going on, the genocide in Congo, you know, you see these millions of people being displaced, and this shit has been going on since April. Why are we just now hearing about it at the same time that this Palestine genocide is happening?
Because they're like, "Oh, this is a good time. Who's going to think about it now?"
Because I'm quite sure these people have been crying out for help. And because the way that the media is, we've been so distracted, and we're just like, "Oh, ha, ha, ha. We've been doing dance challenges and shit."
You didn't watch Succession, did you?
No. Uh-uh.
That is such a mind fuck, because it's based on Rupert Murdoch, obviously. But the way that the dad, who's the CEO of this huge, basically the Fox, he's like owns Fox. Mm-hmm. The way that news comes up and they're like, "Hey, we were going to run this tonight." He's like, "You're not running it."
Yeah.
"Don't run that. Don't even say anything about it."
And see, with TikTok, you can't control what's being on there.
And it's just, you know, that kind of stuff happens. And yes, mm-hmm. it's a scripted show, but just to see the way that half the people in the room are like, "Are we really not going to talk about it?" And the other half are like, "You just heard him. We're not fucking bringing it up."
So that's why even too, when in the grand scheme of things, certain things that occur on your job, you're just like, people are literally, they literally have nothing but the clothes on their back, probably no shoes, no nothing. They don't have ID cards. They don't have their passports, nothing. And they're trying to figure out what area they're going to be safe in. And they, the hospital, they're surely not going to bomb a hospital. And here we are. They're turning off the electricity for an hour every day.
Like, they told everyone to evacuate. Bitch, to where?
And then you bomb the evacuation place.
I don't know where to go.
And then you say, everybody needs to go south. And then you start bombing the south.
Can you imagine right now if they were like, you, everyone out of San Antonio and the surrounding areas, where the fuck would we go if the borders were closed down?
I don't know.
I know a couple places. Probably more than you because I have family here. We could probably figure it out.
I'm going with you. Shit. I'm going where the white folks go. You ain't going to leave me behind.
She's with us.
I co-host the podcast with her. I'm recording it.
It's just you don't like. It's crazy.
You can't imagine it. You can't even make up in your brain what you think you would do in that situation because you don't know.
You want to talk about the shit to be thankful for next week? It's that the fact life. That you can call your family, you can drive to see them, you can be with them and have a dinner.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to worry about whether you'll make it home or not.
Exactly. Whether you'll be bombed at your job.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like it's crazy. So I am personally continuing to pray for the people in Congo and Palestine. I'm not praying for nobody in Israel. I'm just saying. And I said what I said.
She said what she said.
And it's, let me just say this. It's not everybody in Israel because there are Israelis that are in Israel right now who do not agree with their government. Just like Americans in America, we do not agree with our government and what they are doing. So I will not generalize all Israelis. I will not generalize or, you know, hate all Israelis or, because I don't hate nobody, but I'm not going to generalize all Israelis. I'm only talking about the people specifically who are for committing genocide.
What do they say when they'd say all lives matter? We're like, so you agree the Black Lives Matter and that's who we're focusing on right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
These people in Palestine are being murdered.
They're being murdered. That's who
we're focusing on right now.
47% of their population are children.
Insane. That's a whole generation of people you're wiping
out. You're wiping them out. Your ancestors literally came from Germany. And were welcomed onto this land because somebody said they weren't pure and didn't deserve to live. Some of the pieces that I've heard some Israeli extremists say, talking about God promised us this land and he's going to wipe out every Palestinian. What kind of God are you serving?
But also God, not the military.
But here's the thing. God, did he not create the Palestinian people? Some theologians will argue that Jesus was Palestinian.
Some would say Jesus was from the Middle East.
This is what I'm saying. Like, come on, people.
I don't know.
It's just, again, we are praying. I am praying that, Lord Jesus, help this planet. Heal your land, Lord Jesus. Anyway, on a little positive note, let's move from
positivity.
The Grammy nominations have been announced.
My girl, Solana.
Who's also SZA.
I love her. Love her new body. Love her music.
I cannot.
Love her.
I love Victoria Monet. She was nominated for 7 Grammys. SZA was nominated for 9.
Damn,
they're the top 2 nominated women or people.
Black girls. Black girls.
I love
girls,
it for them.
Black girls.
And they both kind of came up in the music industry together as well, too, being writers and everything like that. And I just love their story. And both of them were both snubbed by the VMAs. Mm-hmm. The VMAs did not nominate or put up for nomination SZA for Record of the Year, Video of the Year, something
Which
like that. Video of the Year. And then they told, the VMAs told Victoria Monet's people, it's too early in her story to have her She's been writing for Ariana Grande, Rihanna, forever. And everybody and their mama, literally.
There's no way you're going to tell me that we're going to have a white boy winter with all this Jack Harlow shit and we're not going to acknowledge the SZA fucking video.
Hell, Ice Spice was nominated for 4.
Thank you.
Which I'm still trying to figure out what she do.
And I'm hot like Barbie.
I'm not hating on Ice Spice because I think she's a beautiful woman, but I just don't know what she sings.
But SZA.
But you know who Ice Spice reminds me of? Lord. Remember Lord with an E?
Mm-hmm.
When she came out and she took over, she was winning Grammys. We were like, what does this bitch do? And now you don't know where she is.
I read, and by read, I mean listened to a TikTok the other day. And it was about Lord, like her rise and not fall, but kind of fall off.
Because didn't she fall off because she supported something that people didn't like?
And you know what? I didn't listen is the thing. That I swiped right past it. But
With every right.
But I'm just like, SZA puts out, I don't know, Lord's fans, I feel like, love her. Mm-hmm. They're writers and dyers. SZA, she's got it.
SZA is...
No skips on the albums.
SZA is a lyricist. Man. If she weren't a rapper, she would be a lyricist. Like, SZA has this storybook.
Paints a fucking picture.
She does. And that's the genius of her as a writer, of her being able to take you on this journey with her of love, of heartbreak, of, you know, of repair, of healing, and all that kind of stuff. And it, I mean, it's just beautiful. And even Victoria Monet, like, you cannot convince me that Victoria Monet is not in her bag right now.
She, like, also, the way she moves her body.
She's amazing.
Insane.
And her daughter, who actually is on the record that what she's nominated for, Hazel.
Hazel.
Hazel Monet. Yeah, Hazel. She's actually the youngest person to ever be nominated for a Grammy because she's 2 years old.
Cute.
So I hope she wins. I love that little family. They are so cute.
They are cute. I love both of them. Yeah. Did you watch the SZA video with all those little boys in it with Justin Bieber and all them? Mm-hmm. Loved that. I loved the first SZA album. The second one didn't sound like the first, but still loved it. And it's hard for people to do that. Yeah, I feel like it's not polarizing, but people like either the first
one. What do they say? It's like the sophomore curse or something like that. Like, most people are fighting to have their second album, their second record.
And so it goes either she was going to do more of the exact same and people were going to hate it, or she was going to do something different and people were going to hate it.
SZA is that girl. She just is.
Man, I want to see her so bad. I'm pissed I missed her when she
came. I don't want to. That's one person I don't want to see in concert.
So I saw her in Austin and it was great.
The only reason why I'm saying I don't want to see SZA in concert is it's not because of SZA herself. It's because people will be singing her songs at the top of their lungs. Yes. And I don't. It's just like, I don't want to pay for a Beyonce concert, a SZA concert, a Jasmine Sullivan concert.
Like, because people are going to be singing more than that. What if they silent discoed it?
I would love that.
Like, everyone, that's my sensory processing. You got to shut the fuck up. Yeah.
Yes. I would love that. And you just hear just the artist. I would absolutely do that. But even Brandy, I don't want to see Brandy in concert, not because of Brandy, but because of the fans. Y'all are going to be trying to out-sing her. And then she's going to be, let me hear her. No. Let me hear you. Turn this shit down.
What do you want to hear me for?
Turn you up. Like, I don't want to hear Alyssa next to me screaming to the top of her damn lungs. Hell no. Then people get mad at you. Everybody on mute. Bitch, you cuss at me, I will knock your ass out. Right. Shut your fucking ass out, bitch. Too much.
I get mad at Jessica every time we have a song. I play music in the office now because this job is depressing. And very the only true. Way for us to not, you know, gouge out our eyes is to listen to something happy. Yeah. Every band that comes on, she's like, I saw them in concert.
She goes to every
concert. I'm like, also, it is like $900 to see someone in concert now.
Yeah, it really is. It's very expensive.
I wanted to see, the Eagles. Do you like the Eagles?
Like the football game? I mean, the football team?
No, the
Eagles. Oh, it's
a band?
No, don't even know who they are.
Okay, it's just this old, like, yacht rock band. It's very popular amongst white people.
I was going to say, yeah, that's your definitely white side.
I was like, wow, it's their last tour. I would love to go see them. Mm-hmm. You'd know their songs if you heard them, but it's just, like, background music. Right. And $900, literally, $800 to $900 for shit seats.
Nah, you're a lie. That devil lied.
Come on! Mm-mm. Who has money for that?
Only person I will go see in concert, which is really not a concert, Miss Pat. That's it.
That's not a concert.
Exactly. And her tickets ain't $900 either. And you have a good ass time. And you only hear her. You know why? Because she'll cuss your ass out if you keep talking to her set. As she should. Which I feel like people should do that. I feel like artists should cuss you the fuck out if you're singing through their set.
Have you seen Steve Lacy in concert?
No. I don't even know who Steve Lacy is.
I wish I knew you wanted me. I wish I knew.
Okay, that's on TikTok.
But he'll like cuss out his audience. Like, good. Y'all don't even know the words.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. Like, I just want to go to a concert and enjoy the artist singing it live without the boundaries of the studio. I don't want to hear anybody else.
When they're like out of the spotlight for a couple years, they do a little small venue. People are all, you know, 35 and above.
I want the listening session. That's what I want. Listening. Because then nobody knows the words, so everybody shut the fuck up.
Yeah, there you go.
Anything else you need to talk about before we talk about one more little thing in the rehab corner, kind of technically?
I'm trying to think if I got anything else for you.
Oh, Howard University actually is the first HBCU.
You know?
That's right. That's Alyssa's alumni, alma mater, I mean. They're the first HBCU to actually have a figure skating team, which I love that. Ice figure skating team, and I love that.
Bet you black girls on ice.
We've already seen it a dozen times.
I know, but I'm just saying. I love that. I love it.
You got Fisk. Look with at their how gymnastics
we changed the floor routines in gymnastics. Listen. I will never forget that little girl that did Whitney Houston. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah. Amazing.
Damn, I love Blackpink.
Megan Thee Stallion is out with new music. I love her new song, Cobra. And first, the visuals.
That video was
fuck the song. The video, but the video is a telltale going back to be careful who's in your camp. Because, baby, the way that people in her camp and around her with this whole Tory Lanez situation, baby, you are shedding some stuff. And she looks beautiful. And she I hope she continues good. To hit. Then what she, I'm sorry, what she said allegedly about Party, about that man getting his penis sucked in a place where she lay her head. Party? You got some explaining to do, sir.
What?
I was like, now I don't know if she talking about him because allegedly she didn't call no names, but all we could just put two and two together, which is four. So I don't know who she was talking about, but part of Sid Fontaine. Pretty Ricky, what they call him. All I'm saying is, that's from Martin, if you didn't catch that reference. Anyway, all I got to say is, sir, what I said about you a few podcasts ago, if that's true that you did that, I take everything back positive that I said about you, because God damn.
Whew. How the mighty have fallen.
So,
because did you see Megan with the snake? How she was freaking out snake. And did you hear that?
I did. You were wheezing really bad.
Girl.
We're almost done.
In Britney's book, she talks about how she came out with the snake at the VMAs and how horrified she was and how it was hissing at her and it was like wrapping its head, like going towards her.
Oh, Jesus.
Scary.
It is. But I mean,
I hate snakes.
I hate snakes too. I don't like them at all. That's Jesus. I don't like them. But real quick, what have you been watching?
This is embarrassing. Gilded Age. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's about the Gilded Age in America. It's a scripted show.
What's the Gilded Age?
Like when we got electricity and shit.
Oh, that's fascinating. I love that.
But it's a scripted show. It's giving Down Abbey, but U.S.
Downton
New York.
Abbey?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's what I've been watching. It's a show that, like, it's one of those things where it's not like this gripping show that I have to watch every episode, but for some reason I can't turn it off.
I love that for you. Yeah. That's cool.
What about you?
The only thing that I've watched recently, which I kind of got a ending part in real life, was on Netflix is a documentary called Take Care of Maya. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of this story, but allegedly there was this young girl who had a particular, I can't remember the disorder that she had. She was very weak. She couldn't walk, paralyzed and whatnot.
Something like complex regional pain syndrome.
Yeah, it was something like that where she was having a lot of pain. She couldn't walk. She couldn't do a lot of stuff. So her mom was basically her biggest advocator. And she was telling the doctors, there's something going on with my daughter. I'm not understanding what's going on. They kept feeling like John Hopkins themselves, the hospital allegedly kept feeling like there were inconsistencies within the girl's behavior, that the mom was causing the girl's behavior, which is basically Munchausen's by proxy or whatever. And so it got so bad to the point where they banned the mom from coming to the hospital. Well, as a result of all of this stuff, she kept telling them, give my daughter ketamine or whatever. It's making her better, blah, blah, blah. They had video of her like in her PT, OT sessions. They actually had the PTs and OTs on the stand recording. They were like, this girl was not faking her atrophy. She was not faking her, you know, paralysis and her paresis and her deficits and all this other kind of stuff. So because they banned the mom from the hospital and nobody would take her seriously and her cries and her desperation to get her daughter some help, seriously, allegedly, she committed suicide as a result.
Mind you, her daughter had had a flare up like this before. She couldn't find any help. So they found a doctor in Mexico who was like, I have this experimental treatment that we can do. And basically he just like knocked her ass out, gave her a ton of ketamine for like 4 or 5 days. And it worked for years.
Absolutely.
So the mom was like, I know this sounds crazy, but this is what she needs. It's happened before. And the hospital was like, you're a wacko.
Exactly. And they made her out to be this
horrible
person.
Can you imagine trying to advocate for your child? Yep. And the hospital's just like, you know what you're
trying to do? And then they ban you from being able to see your child and come up there to visit. Then you commit suicide. She writes this letter to her daughter. Her daughter gets better. I think Maya is now like 16 or 17.
Yeah, because everyone thought she was crazy and hurting her daughter.
And the daughter knew that her mother wasn't hurting her. And so some of the staff also too believed the mom, but then there was other staff that were above them, like the MDs, who were not believing her, unfortunately. So fast forward, the family sued John Hopkins Hospital for $200 million. This past week was the ending of this. That's not in the Netflix special because it just happened last week. But the jury awarded Maya's family $261 million in damages because they literally, allegedly, only for the purpose of the podcast, they caused this woman to commit suicide when she was right the entire time.
Also, they were specifically withholding the medication that she had told them would cure their daughter.
Absolutely. She was trying to get second and third opinions. They weren't doing anything. So you saw this week in the courtroom when they announced that they were awarded the $261 million and that John Hopkins was eligible.
And you know what? You know who has $261 million?
John Hopkins.
A hospital.
Yeah, they do. They gonna get it out of the insurance policy. Y'all,
hey, sorry to everyone who works there.
Y'all ain't getting no Christmas bonus this year.
Y'all not getting raises this year.
But I'm just like, the fact that, again, even in healthcare, we continue to say on this podcast, like, we get it. People come in as malingerers or people who come in faking. Everybody does not fake, even if it looks like it. You still have to treat the symptoms. And the minute you think you know, I'm sorry, more than a mother knows who has experience with her child, you are putting yourself in a dangerous position. And it's sad that this girl now has to grow up without a mother who literally took care of her. Who died trying to help her, and you drove this lady crazy to the point where she committed suicide because she didn't want to be a problem and a hindrance to her daughter's health. Her mother felt like, if I just get rid of myself, then maybe they will listen to my daughter and actually do for her what needs to be done. Like, that's her mother made the ultimate sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
But allegedly John Hopkins is going to appeal the award, but I doubt if it's gonna get removed, honestly, because this case, I'm sorry, once it go on Netflix, it's done. But yeah, it's sad, because I mean,
once it goes on Netflix,
listen, Joe Exotic, he's in jail now. Hey, so listen, you know,
that seems like so
Murdaugh wrong. Case guilty. But yeah, so her and her brother were literally consoling each other and crying their eyes out in the courtroom. Like, it was, it's a wonderful documentary to watch, and I think it's very educational because it also helps you to be able to understand the language that, number one, we as healthcare workers use, mm-hmm. but also, two, that can be used against you when you are trying to get something done that doesn't appear conventional.
Also, no one knows your body but you.
For real. Something ain't right. Yourself.
Something ain't right.
Fight for yourself.
Keep going till you find someone who will help you.
And her mother recorded everything. She mm-hmm. kept a diary. She kept a log. She videoed. She audio record. She recorded everything, which is beautiful because it was used to help their case. And again, no amount of money is going to bring this girl's mother back, but at least this family can at least have some type of peace knowing that publicly that her mother's death was not in vain to a degree.
Well,
you know?
And now who knows how many other kids, because I think this kind of disorder in kids is super rare. Kids don't have pain disorders like this, but who knows how many kids do and they can't get the help that
they
need.
And they ignored it.
Yeah, yep, so absolutely. It just sucks that it always takes something. Every time we have a stupid rule in the hospital, mm-hmm. I always wonder, like, what fucked up that they had to write this rule?
It's just like the Tide Pods when they had to say, hey, don't consume. Some kid had to eat a Tide Pod and die, and their parents sued for them to now put that on there.
It just sucks that that's the way.
Sometimes it has to, though. Sometimes you need to be embarrassed on a national stage, and you need to be, and not embarrassed, I'm sorry. Sometimes you as a company need to be held accountable on a national and global stage for you to get your shit together, because clearly ethics did not play a part in this.
No.
Where was your ethics? And I get it. You can bring in whatever psychologist you want to, but at the end of the day, there has to be some truth in this lady doing this with her daughter.
Yeah,
and especially if something already worked.
They says they were doing things without parental consent.
They were, allegedly.
And like, that's the biggest no-no.
Exactly. Because you think the mom is crazy. And once you say the mom is crazy, everybody else carries that same tune. And mom's crazy. Shitty. And you've never had an interaction with her.
That is shitty too, because it happens all the time. As soon as someone in the hospital tells you, like, you're going to go into a room and they're like, okay, well, just be careful because the wife's crazy. Mm-hmm. The wife is this, this, and that. Or just be careful, the patient's crazy, and you go in and you have a completely normal interaction with them, and you're like, you're not crazy, you just don't like that bitch.
Exactly. They will tell you too. They'll be like, I know they probably came in here and told you I was crazy. I'm not. This is what happened. And when they tell you, just like, you were justified in your response to them. It
and
makes total sense.
You do get crazy people.
You do.
And you're like, oh no, you're crazy.
Right.
But you can tell when someone's being crazy.
But just because somebody is crazy or somebody seems or appears to be crazy does not mean that what they're not saying is not valid.
Right.
Like, you still have to take it into consideration.
Because to them, it may be real.
It is. Just like dementia. You going to tell everybody that who got dementia, they crazy?
No.
I had this one man this week, past week, calling me his mama. Mind you, he's
hey,
a white
baby.
Man. He's a white 81-year-old man. He just kept, mama, mama, mama.
I hope you call them baby.
No, I was just like, what's wrong? He was like, nothing. Oh, okay. As soon as I walked away, mama, okay. I don't know. All right, sir. You need some crackers, some juice? No? All right. Have a great day. But you can't call him crazy. He's Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's, so the documentary is called Take Care of Maya. It is on Netflix. It's actually a really good documentary if you guys want to watch it. I admonish you all to watch it because, like I said, it's very educational about what advocation looks like from the standpoint of the clinician, as well as the things that can be used against you when it comes to advocating for your loved ones, for your children, yeah. for yourself. It's, I think it's a big learning curve for a lot of people. So go watch that if you have time. That's not sponsored, but Netflix, you should sponsor us.
You should sponsor us. We pay enough money
for Listen, Netflix. And we're suggesting a lot of shit that's on your platform. But anyway.
So not only do I have to have my own Netflix account now, because you can't just have one True. For multiple people. If I have Netflix on downstairs and I go to put on upstairs, it's like, hold on. You've been scrolling way too long.
Yeah.
That's been insane. Mm-hmm. I'm on the same Wi-Fi.
I know.
So you're telling me it's stupid. I'm just kidding.
And then Disney Plus is raising their prices. Listen, I'm about to say fuck all y'all and just watch shit on TikTok. Call it a day.
YouTube has great stuff.
They really do. Let's go back to the YouTube days of The Misadventures of a Black Awkward Girl from Issa Rae.
Oh, that was a good one.
They people had great, like, I'm just going to start watching Van Life again.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right. Anything else we can talk about?
No.
That would be a no. All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. We extended our episode almost 2 hours. But
you're welcome.
It's because we missed last week because Alyssa had the shits. Anyway, but we are glad that her booty is under control today.
God damn.
And we thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of The Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. Y'all remember to have an amazing week on purpose. Don't forget to spread love.
Spread light.
And don't forget to laugh your face off.
Oh my God. A&M fired Jimbo Fisher. That's what I forgot to say.
Jimbo Fisher?
Yeah.
He's at Texas?
He's at Texas A&M.
He was at Florida State for many years.
He's been at Texas A&M and they just fired his ass. Anyway, hook 'em horns.
Fam, you won against Lincoln University. Woohoo!
Nice.
Go right up!
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of The Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at The Face Off Pod. Be sure to tune in to The Face Off every Tuesday where new episodes are released.